Good evening. If you cannot hear me, please wave your arms and I'll try to speak louder or change whatever we need to change. Tonight I want to talk about how important the truth is. I've been in several conversations lately where talking to friends and a few neighbors where the truth seems to be very confusing to them. And if you talk to them, especially about religious truth, they cannot seem to use any resource of what we know truth and God's word for any actions that they're doing. So it gets very, very complicated in talking to them. But one recent discussion I want to start talking about was with a friend and neighbor of mine. We've been discussing for some time now, and he had same issue. He was wondering, how do you know when to separate opinion from truth? And it's a great question for someone to ask you outside of the congregation here, that how do you know the truth? Because it jumps right into, well, let me show you the truth, and we can provide you with answers that way. Then we discussed this. We both tend to agree that there is times when the truth may be missing because determining what's absolute fact, sometimes you got to have that standard and that guide. And so I was trying to explain to him, without a guide or standard, you really never know what to use for the truth. And there has to be a solid basis or some type of certainty whenever you speak of something being true. Some type of evidence to support that. Otherwise, you have a lack of credibility when you're talking to someone. And what you tell them without some kind of a basis for them to realize that you are speaking truth may just be all in vain to them. That they may not hear that or want to hear that. So there's no gain moving forward in the actions until he's able to establish what that truth is. And so he had already concluded that truth in our day and time may not be verifiable due to all the polluted facts that have come into the conversations and into the world. A lot of perversions. He had a couple translations of God's word that I was trying to advise him against. And so he was looking into those and trying to find out, why did the NIV leave out verses and so forth. So it's got to be an interesting discussion with him on that. We went on to discuss more detail, and I actually agree with him that, yeah, the truth can be twisted and distorted to a point where it may not be recognizable. But that isn't only until we find that means of truth. So trying to explain to him that two people can look at a length of board, and one person can say it's an 8-foot board, another person can say, no, that's a 10-foot board. And so they have to find that true authorized measurement to go to that board and see, okay, is it 8-foot or 10-foot? Which that might be some type of a calibrated scale or whatever. So it's the same thing with God's word. When we are talking to someone, we have to be able to be ready to go back and to kind of calibrate what we're saying in their mind so that we can justify ourselves as speaking truth. So the bottom line of the story in talking to him was, yes, there is truth out there. The truth is in God's word. Some people may want to vary from that truth, but the truth is there if we just go and look at it. John 17:17, Jesus prayed for his disciples, and he said, in speaking to God, he said, sanctify them by your truth, and your word is truth. And then in Colossians 4:6, where Paul was saying that let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And I can't help but think in this congregation here, when I start thinking about truth and how that we've all been instilled with these great evidences in our minds to help build that foundation of ourselves as Christians, I think about all the resources we've had, such as the wonderful sound ministers that we have now and have had over the past. And we talk about the tremendous Bible classes that over the years that I've been able to sit in the audience and listen to and be able to learn, increase knowledge that way. There's always a library full of knowledge back down the hallway there. Now, just as Brother Greg was talking about, the Polishing the Pulpit 365 is available to us. That's another resource we have. We have gospel meetings. We had one this past fall with Jeff Miller, where we got to actually analyze our own basis of why we believe that there is a God. We went that far to start at that point, why there is a God, and how we got the Bible was discussed, and why we believe the Bible to be authentic. And that's our authority, that's our guide that we live our lives by. We went through all those discussions during that seminar. That's still available back here on the tape if you want to listen to it, or thumb drive or whatever. And then another chance coming up here in April with Phil Sanders, having our meeting coming up, I believe it's April 13th or 12th, 13th. So that's coming up soon, another opportunity we'll get to hear some more that way. But we've just been totally blessed with those tools that we can build that foundation for ourselves. And we get that foundation, and we have that knowledge to go out and teach others, and therefore we have that credibility, because people know if we talk to them, that we have credibility. We can go to Scripture and we can say, well, this is why we're protecting the Lord's Supper. Let me show you why we're doing that. This is why I'm telling you you need to be baptized. These Scriptures, they're all referencing remission of sin, washing away sins. So we can show them these things, and we have that basis with them on that way. The common issue that seems like most people have today, though, is they seem unwilling to accept the truth because their cups are too full of opinion. So it's like they don't want to hear anything you say because they have all this knowledge over here in this big old cup here that they just have no room for anything else. So you can talk to them until you're blue in the face, and until they're willing to give something up to make more room to hear God's truth, it's not going to sink in. It's just going to overflow that cup, and they're never going to retain it. So getting people to actually let loose of some of these traditions takes a lot of wisdom in God's word to be able to go out and show them. No, instrumental music was not taught by the apostles to use in the first century church. Let me show you why. They show them the history of instrumental music. So they empty that cup, get rid of that garbage knowledge, and increase it back with God's knowledge, giving them a basis to and a foundation, of course, to develop their own Christian life. There's one example I'll point out to tonight of a man who was girded with truth, a man who was eager to teach God's word, and how he went about doing this. And this is found in Acts chapter 8. I'm talking about Philip. When he ran to the chariot, he ran to overtake that chariot. He was so eager to speak with this eunuch that he ran to the chariot, and he gets the chariot to stop, and he asks the man, do you understand what you're reading? And that man admits something that most people would not admit. He says, more or less, no, how can I unless someone shows me? And so immediately, Philip had that opening. Oh, I got God's truth I want to tell you about. I got the gospel I want to share with you. And he was able to begin teaching at that point there. And the same scriptures the man had been studying, he was able to take his previous mindsets or drawn conclusions away and teaching truth. To me, that's a great example in that story of Philip, to be able to guide someone to truth. So that eunuch, as a result of that with Philip, by the way, of course, he was baptized. He was saved that very day, but all because someone was prepared enough and had the knowledge to go out and teach him, was he taught, was he able to be saved. So how can we get people to open up to us? And how can we get them to seek God's word as the truth, and accept God's word as the truth? Get rid of all the other traditions, all the doctrinal books or whatever, and get them to use only God's word. How can we go about that then? Well, it starts with us, and that was my point tonight. We have to first develop ourselves. We've got to be sincere, presenting that good example to others, and build that credibility with them that they want to hear what we say. They can see it in us, and they want to hear, and they want to be a part of what we have. That, to me, is the whole starting point. It was in Joshua, chapter 24, when Joshua exhorted God's people, and he said, now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, serve the Lord. And so does this apply to us today, what Joshua told the people? Well, it does, because he said, put away the gods. To me, that's very crucial. There's so many people today who have gods that they don't recognize that they're worshiping gods or idols. But whatever it takes away from God's time, of course, is a god or an idol. There's many, many people, and maybe some of us, who devote more time to these things than we do God. So it's a disrespecting of God that we put something before him, that we look at these things that and we're willing to make that our priority in life. I can't miss that TV show. Church not over on Sunday night till 7, and my show starts at 8. I don't want to miss that. So, you know, little things like that that we need to overcome and maybe perhaps reevaluate our priorities in those things. But to me, that Joshua in saying that put away your gods, of course, he was talking about the people who had the false gods in Egypt and so forth, but it still applies to us today. It could be that some people may even see the need to change, empty out their cup, and have that need to increase that cup with the good knowledge, but there's too many things tied them to the world, and that also becomes like a god to them. They can't let go of alcohol. Two or three conversations I've had with people who said, I just don't know if I can be a Christian because I just love my beer too much. That's the most ridiculous statement I think you can hear, because it just shows where your priorities are. Okay, you're telling me you love God, you want to be a Christian, but not that much that I want to give something up for him. It doesn't make any sense in my mind to hear that. So it seems like I hear that a lot lately, and it takes somehow getting to the mindset in those minds, those people, to get them to push those things out and want to have the desire to fill it with the godly things. We're told in John chapter 8, 31, 32, that the truth can make us free. Well, this is what Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him. But he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. By abiding in God's word, we are his disciples, as we're told in that verse. Also, 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's up to us to be able to present ourselves as approved teachers, to present ourselves as someone acceptable in the eyes of others, that they're willing to let us be their teacher, that we can go and share the knowledge that we gain every time we're in this building with them and help them in their lives as well. Tonight, if you have any need at all, if you're not a Christian, we ask that we have an opportunity to study with you. We want you to know that it does begin with your hearing of God's word. You're making room in that cup for this knowledge. And that we also want you to understand what belief in God is. Is it as a commitment? Okay, it's not a sacrifice on your part to give things up. It's just a commitment that you make to him. And then we want you to be able to understand repentance and what a confession is and how baptism works and washes away your sins. If you have this opportunity tonight, that you can come forward and we can help you with that. And also, if you are a Christian now and you're struggling with things that perhaps you can't empty things out of your life, you need to make that room for God in your life then, or you've done things that you know you need repentance of, we ask that you will come forward tonight and that you'll allow us to pray for you and that God will receive your repentance. So now as we stand and sing this song, Brother Steve, we'll have this opportunity tonight.
Calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Yes, Jesus calls me on to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust for earth and heaven above. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary.
Before we go to our classes, Greg has one additional announcement.